Welcome to Side by Side, a podcast where I, Robert Kwong, take you inside conversations with artists, creatives, healers, and warriors taking the charge in their transformational story. Today's guest is Bethany Mabee, a visual artist and designer who has transformed her creative expression into a body of work seen on paper, canvas, and textiles. From interior design to gallery commissions, Bethany explores the parallels between art and everyday life while balancing the practical and creative needs of an artist and business owner. In this conversation, we reminisce over Bethany's transition from figurative to abstract art, the polarities and contrast within us and our creative acts, and art making for the buyer versus for ourselves. Side by Side is now available on all major listening platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcast, and Amazon Music. Give us a like and leave us a review if you find value in our conversations. All our content is now available at sidebysidepodcast.podbean.com. If you'd like to connect with me, please visit www.robertkwonghome.com. Well, it's so nice to be connecting with you again, Bethany. You and I have worked before together in the past, but I really just consider you to be like a fellow artist and a fellow creator. It's just kind of amazing to see all that you've created for yourself and your family. So first, let me say congratulations on your new fabric wallpaper collection.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Thank what's it like having the launch with the textiles, which you've been working on for so long, you know?
I've done my classic thing where I celebrate it quickly and then move on of what's next. And then I'm like, wait, no, I need to celebrate this.
Yeah. I love, by the way, there are two things that I have to like gush about because genuinely this is just me. I love your website. Your website's so beautiful.
Thank you.
Then I'm obsessed with your textiles. Like there are things that like if I ever own a home or something like that, I would want those designs. I'm obsessed with your textiles.
Well, thanks for that, Robert. Yeah, that's really great. Because I always wonder how those that are maybe drawn to my art perceive my textiles. It's like, wait, where'd this come from? You know? So
really
but I have found a connection between them now, which I was searching for when we were working together. I don't know if you remember that. I was kind of trying to find where's the soul of these textiles.
Oh my gosh. I mean, it's just, I think, you know, to me, you found it, but I love to hear more about your internal process too. And I don't want to assume like, really, I just see like your art and your creative process just being accessible in these different mediums, really.
Yeah.
And I'm really curious where you think that comes from. What are some of your earliest memories around painting and drawing? Were you always that person?
I was always that person, but I was the person that did it in the way that I was told was a good job. So, I would sit and draw my dog or draw my friends, you know, anything that was extremely realistic and let the perfectionist pleaser in me come out. So that was my way of giving my love though to everyone around me. Like I would make pictures and frame them. And it was really fun to have that as an expression as a kid. I feel like as a kid, that's interesting. I haven't realized that till just now. That was kind of my way of showing. It was like a nonverbal way of showing my love, which was actually a really cool tool for me to have because it was more difficult for me to articulate it verbally.
Mm, so these are things that you can just share with people as well, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then because I was doing more realistic drawing, it was a lot easier for me to kind of pinpoint something that was important to them and draw it. Whereas now I feel like I'm doing that more for myself, but.
Yeah, I was that kid a little bit. I would draw for fun and everything. Yeah. But, you know, I'm curious, back then, did you want to be like a quote unquote professional artist? Is that even something that you thought about?
Yeah, I did. I just knew that was the one thing that where I felt like myself in. And any art class I was taking, that was just kind of where I felt at home. I just don't think I had a lot of examples of ways that could show up. And so I was like, okay, I want to go to college and major in fine art. And my parents were like, that's not going to happen because you're not going to get a job, which is just a kind of a testament to the messaging that was received around being an artist. So I did graphic design, which I hated. It was so technical. I mean, I did it, I, like, you know, grit my teeth through it for the degree and have never done anything with it. But at least it allowed me to take studio courses and explore different that side of myself, even though it wasn't the main focus. It was still part of the curriculum. So I think that was really helpful.
Is it just like the visceralness of the painting itself, like the process? Just it's just
yeah, I think
you just prefer that.
Yes, yeah, because even in college, I would do the studio courses that were required and do the assignments.
Yeah.
I don't think it was until I probably graduated and I was living in Chicago, and it was a very private thing. Like one day, I was like, okay, I'm going to try this abstract thing, just because I was always drawn to it, and that was. I didn't really tell anybody because I didn't feel like I could claim the title of that. It was kind of like, what are you? You have no business doing this.
Do you remember that time in your life and like when you first started exploring with abstract images and color and symbolism? Like, what did it mean for you when you were, when it was just starting to kind of come out?
I think it was the first time I was just in a place without rules. Like I grew up with so many rules and expect, you know, it's like, it was such a freeing experience to be like, really, I can do whatever I want here.
Right.
There's no rules. And so it was just a playing around. And I look back at my work at that time and it is, yeah. I mean, now I look at it with fondness because it is interesting to me how circles were kind of my safety zone at that time. And now they're still present in my work, but I think it was almost like, okay, here's this really, you know, uncharted terrain of abstract work, but I'm gonna put a circle on there because that's it's a familiar shape. It feels like something grounding to me, but now I feel like there's loads of symbolism that I pull from that, but it is really interesting to me that that showed up really without any intention from the get-go.
Well, symbolism is very much, like you said, prevalent in your work. And I'm curious if you'd be willing to talk about like symbolism in your work relative to colors and shapes that are repeated. Like, what are some of the themes for you in your work?
Yeah, I would say that when I left Chicago and moved to Peoria, I rented a studio space and I was like, okay, I'm going to devote myself to this. And I think the work that I was doing then, it was so heavy in contrast. It needed so much darkness, in my opinion, to convey any emotion or moodiness. And I think that's what I was trying to do at that time. It was almost a cathartic way for me to kind of get a lot of things that needed to come out. And I was determined for it to not be pretty. You know, it's like,
yeah,
I want
right.
to have, feel like there's emotion behind this. And I felt like I was making myself do that literally with intense areas of black against bright areas of color. And I do still love that very much. But as of recently, I feel like playing with that juxtaposition will always be a theme because I just love playing with the different tensions and contrasts around us all the time. I mean, within myself, I think art's been a huge way for me to kind of negotiate these different parts of myself and that don't really agree. And now I think through my practice, I'm seeing how much they do. And so now I think I'm playing more with a lot of fluidity and just watching the water and the paint interact together, which is really fun for me. And then I'm going back over that with some more intentionality of harsh, kind of bold lines. And to me, it's been a fun play on my more feminine energy and my more masculine energy. And just kind of the fact that I'm even letting that fluidity come into my work is a testament to like my own personal work and kind of softening up, which has been a big part of my healing journey. So it is just a very, to me, a tangible way to kind of express other things I'm working on within myself. And it's not like I'm setting out to do that in a very literal way. It's just that it automatically kind of comes out and gives me another thing to reflect on after and find symbolism in.
Yeah, it's a way to externalize something that we're internally processing. And sometimes that can be really helpful to kind of like look at it from a more quote unquote objective perspective and just to be able to work with it in some way. Exactly. And I know so many artists, myself included, who kind of, we do use art and our creative process as kind of like a healing journey of sorts to reconcile and resolve things within us. Mm-hmm. And also sort of a way to keep track of how we're doing a little bit as well.
Exactly.
Like, do you have examples of like that showing up in your work? Like an example I have is like, there are times when I know it's like, I'm not rushing to get to the piano the past week. What happened? Like things like that, right?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like it's such an amazing record of time and of yourself, because I, there are definitely pieces in the titles I gave those pieces from maybe, you know, 15 years ago or more, and where I'm like, oof, okay, that was, you know, I was going through something, but now, I do feel like it's more of a, like a tool to kind of see that kind of barometer of that connection you're feeling. Cause I do feel like when I'm in a little bit more of my left brain workaholic rush mode, I lose connection to my art, and then I step away from the studio, and all it takes is me just stepping back in there to regain that. But it's interesting how I can pull away from it for a while, because I'm like, well, that's, I don't know if that's even who I am. You know, it's kind of like a constant struggle of like, should you be doing this?
Yeah. Is that authentic? Right. Maybe it's not authentic.
Yeah.
Maybe that's authentic. Right. At least that's been the case for me. But, you know, you bring up something that's very much some artists have to grapple with, mm-hmm. which is like, balancing the practical needs of living and being an artist with like making sure you have the space for your artistic spirit to like flow and, you know, to have like an ongoing evolution of that. Do you have anything to say, or like maybe a little bit of advice in for others and for yourself in balancing these two aspects? You know, there's just like the creative process and then there's, you know, I guess everything else in life.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody has their own trial and error that they almost have to go through, right? To figure out what they really want. Because I think,
yeah, that's true.
I think I agreed to a lot of things the last few years that maybe I didn't want to do, but there was a monetary, it's like, okay, well, that's money, so I'm going to do it, you know? And now I think that's been the struggle for me, is finding that balance between really giving myself permission to just revel in the process and make what I want to make versus that constant voice in my head that's like, well, this sold well, so should I do more of this? And whenever I focus on that, I get so just burnt out. And I think that it's just such an easy dialogue to have with yourself, though, because the paintings that I personally love the most don't seem to sell. And the ones that I make where I'm like, I don't know. I'm at ease with it, but I'm not in love. And then those are the ones that sell. And so it's an interesting relationship I recently had a conversation with somebody else about that and how that happens with her as well. And we're just like, what is that? But I do think that there has to be a back and forth between, yes, doing what you know a gallery needs, or knowing what a commission needs, but saving space for the playfulness that doesn't require that. And I don't think that until I gave myself that, I was actually getting the healing process out of the art that I crave it for. Because I do, of course, want to be able to do it and sell my work, but at what cost too, right?
Does that affect, like, how do you see those pieces that you feel like you had a stronger connection to, but then there's this like pattern? And this sounds like something that a lot of artists have experienced with, like, the expectation doesn't meet whatever happens. Like, and then what happens after that with those pieces for you, like relationship wise?
I mean, I feel like there are certain pieces that I make and years could pass and I'll still look at them fondly. And it's like, I love that piece. And even if it hasn't sold, I still at least have that for myself. And I have that image. I still have a record of it for myself. So it still is fulfilling. And it's the feeling of selling a painting it's always an incredible feeling. It's such a form of validation. And even if you don't want to claim that you need that, you continually do. And so I think that it's honestly an ongoing struggle, because I feel like it's a constant question of, I want to continue to evolve as an artist, but yet I have to maintain this language that I've created that people expect. And so it's I don't know that I have the perfect solution other than me just being in the studio enough to create both works, I guess, where it's like I'm still kind of in a way almost fulfilling those obligations that I have as an artist, but then letting those, you know, still having maybe the courage to give the gallery something brand new and see how it goes. And I feel like that happened this year where I was doing some collage and it was scary to even send it to the galleries because it's like, this is not what they're used to receiving, but they had a good response. So it's like, for me, it's on me to take that leap. Whereas I feel like that's not always easy to do.
Yeah, it's a huge leap and very vulnerable too, because especially when you're saying like, this is a new side of me, right? And that's a huge vulnerability to me. And it does take a little bit of, you know, I don't think there's one right answer for everyone, right?
Yeah, because I do feel like I've tried to have this shift lately where, and I do have obviously, as you know, my job that I call my day job that I'm focusing on that's really providing my income. So that has taken the pressure off of my art, but at the same time, it takes the time away from my art. And so I don't know if there's really a happy medium, because if you're devoting all of your time to art, you have to put the monetary pressure on it in some capacity, right?
Yeah. So,
because I'm trying to, I think before I was very, maybe even bitter that I had to do the other work. And now I'm really embracing that that's actually quite a gift to be able to have that source of income and allow myself to let my art be something that's truly for me, and trust that if I'm continuing to find myself and create from something authentic, that those that love it will find it. Right.
Right. Right.
And I do believe that that's true. And I think it just takes some trust and patience.
Yeah. Trust and patience for sure. And, early on when I was sort of getting back into playing piano, someone actually like a friend gave me like a reading, and there was one line that I could not forget, which is like, oh, your ancestors, your guides, however you name it, wants you to know that not everything you create needs to be shared. Some of it is just for you. And so there was like a reminder of just like, make sure that there are still some things that's just for you. Yeah. And truthfully, I have no idea what that line is. Like there are times when I'm excited and something's coming up and I'm sort of like, oh my gosh, like I love whatever I just played. Yeah. But I don't know whether that excitement means I should like keep it to myself, like really treasure it, or like, you know, share it with the world, so to speak. I don't.
So true.
You know,
I'm still figuring. Maybe that is more a permission to not be assume perfection before you put it out. Maybe. Yeah.
That's interesting.
It's hard because if you love it, you do want to share it. Although sometimes that's funny because even when I do love something, I'm almost more intimidated to share it.
Because it's
more vulnerable of like, I'm loving this. Is that going to be in moments as soon as I share it?
Right. Yeah, totally. Yeah. That's so true. And speaking of like, you know, having to meet obligations and, you know, getting your building yourself as an artist, but then also having to fulfill these, you know, partnerships and things like that. How do you navigate or get through like a creative rut, quote unquote? Like if you experience that, what are some things that have helped you sort of get back in the zone?
Yeah. Well, the first thing that came to my mind is I'd pause and do like a full rearrange in the studio. I feel like
the space itself.
Space needs a shift. It's like, yeah. I can't, if I finish one body of work, let's say I'm working on like several paintings at once because I have a show or something, I cannot start anything new without a complete space shakeup because it's like I need to reset everything. And then, but I think if I'm having, that usually helps. And I feel like the works on paper that I've been doing were kind of an accidental thing I created for that, where it was like, okay, it's almost a warm-up exercise of me getting reacquainted again with the materials. Cause I feel like my paintings have such a difference between the beginning and the end of the process that by the time I've finished some pieces, I'm in such a different mode than I need to be when I'm staring at a blank canvas.
Yeah.
And so it is an interesting, like, how do I get back to that part of me that likes to look at a blank canvas and wants to engage with it as opposed to feel frightened by it? And so, yeah.
Yeah. I've definitely encountered that. I think, like, I'm thinking of writing in particular, like, when the thing, when you start it, is going to feel and be so different by the time you finish that written project. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you kind of, it's a little Twilight Zone-y to me. Yeah. It's very trippy and surreal in some ways.
For sure. Yeah. Cause you have to, as it goes on, you're adding layers. I mean, whether that's physical layers or, you know, layers.
Yeah.
Doing that is a very different, like, there's such an improvisational in the moment thing when I'm just putting color on the canvas initially. And it's such a cherished phase of the process, but that also has to have a cutoff point. And then you have to think about, okay, what's the actual composition now going to be if it's a big piece? So I feel like the post initial layer me is so different because she's having to make more intentional choices as opposed to just in the moment, no plan choices. So it's,
yeah.
So I've enjoyed actually observing those parts of myself coming through in the duration of creating a painting, which really is the same as what's coming through for me when you span out and see the difference between my daily work and my studio work. And then out of that, it's like almost every area of my life, there is that, for anyone almost, that tension between what's intentional and what's maybe unconscious or on it, you know? And so I think that I love seeing those differences in myself come out.
Yeah, I feel like the word contrast is coming back up again, because that's also like a term that, you know, I think it's like a spiritual term. Like, life has a lot of contrast, and sometimes that's a helpful perspective when you're going through ups and downs. It's sort of like life is just reflecting a contrast so that you can have a sense of awareness. It's not always comfortable, of course. And art can be like another way to reflect back what you're experiencing in life. In fact, I want to read something that you had spoken about in an interview.
Oh, okay.
There are times that my style feels loose and free, and other times it feels rigid and forced. I think this is what comes with being an abstract artist, because it is a reflection of what you have going on in that moment. And so, like, when you talk about all these things, it's from like an old like blog interview.
Wow.
That I saw.
Nice freestyle.
I know. You're like, I'm smart, girl.
I'm not. Hearing yourself, I'm like, what do you mean there's an interview quote? But that's great. Thanks for doing that back, because it is, that's, yeah. Anyway, continue.
I sort of see you as having this inner writer. Like, I've even, like, on some Instagram quotes have, like, I found, like, really moving.
Aww.
But you spoke about, like, one way that you get over, like, a creative rut is just do some smaller projects and exercises on paper and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm really curious, because this is not, you know, my wheelhouse per se, but you do create art on paper, on canvas, on textiles, and also collages using leftover material. So how do you distinguish between all of them? Like, how are they different to you? And, or like maybe it all kind of flows. How do you make sense of it?
Yeah, I think they came about accidentally, but then again, as I spanned out, I was like, oh, this is so cool. How everything's kind of connected and building off of each other. And then once I found that connection, I was like, well, now I want to be intentional about that. So it's like, I feel like they each serve almost a different purpose. It's like the works on paper are the beginning stage where, I mean, some people had asked me to make works on paper and smaller works. And I was like, no, I only do large paintings. And then,
oh yeah. I mean, it's fun.
Like, when it's
fun.
Your choice though, it's like, oh, okay, I'll do it. I decided myself to do it. So the works on paper, again, they're so fun. I could just pound those out all day, because it's like, I don't really have to think about how's this going to work as a big piece. I can just, anything that happens, happens. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. I can cut it up later and use it for collage. So it's almost like making these works on paper kind of warms me up and helps me determine what my palettes are going to be for a bigger piece. So then I can kind of almost use that color reference for a larger piece. And then also the larger pieces kind of bring in that other element of adding those more geometric shapes on top, which to me, again, is a fun play on the contrast between that fluidity and that more bold line. And then I think the textiles, those came about of where I'm scanning my paintings anyway, to have high res images. So it was just kind of one of those things I played around with where I took like a tiny area out of the painting and then digitally played around with how that could become a pattern. And so for me, that process, it's very cathartic because it kind of feeds that analytical brain of mine where it's not really, there's an unexpected element to it because you never know what it could become, but there's also some intentionality to it. And it's just very cathartic to sit on the computer and be surprised by what can unfold when you just start mirroring or repeating or taking all these bits and pieces and finding, creating a pattern out of it.
Mm.
And I'm also just, yeah, fascinated with finding patterns in anything in life. Like that's kind of what I nerd out over. So to me, it was interesting that I realized after the fact that like, this is kind of just another extension of what you're kind of doing in life everywhere, looking for the cycles and patterns and everything.
Your creative process has that cyclical motion to it to me. Even when you talk about like in the beginning, it's a blank canvas and you kind of, it evokes certain something to you. And then midway through, it's like kind of like this. And then you complete it and then it starts all over again.
Exactly.
No wonder you're curious about circles because my wording would be like the energy feels very circular in the way you work and it has that fluid motion to me because. You know, some artists, like their projects can be like, they're meant to be very disruptive, for lack of a better word.
Right.
And yours, I just hear sort of like, well, this happened. And then you can sort of repurpose it to be this way. And it's not super like, it's not like you have to like redo everything and start from the ground zero. You're kind of repurposing in some ways and one can flow into the other. For example, like with the collages, I find that really fascinating.
Exactly. And then the collage was just kind of like, I just love rearranging objects. I think I'm just a very tactile person. So just having a way to, again, arrange things was just so fun. And I'm like, I can just kind of use the scraps I have. And I do think when I found that circular process connection, I was like, oh, wow, it was kind of something I stumbled on by just allowing myself to observe more. And I think that's what's been really cool is seeing that when you remove the forcing and you just kind of observe your own natural tendencies, it's like, oh, it's right there in front of me. I was not paying attention to it.
Mm, yeah, very subconscious, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes that can be quite magical too, but I do think like developing the awareness is quite powerful because you can make strong choices, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And even like I'm thinking now, your abstract style reminds me of like when people who have synesthesia, and they're like listening to something and they're like, this is what the color it is. And it's always usually abstract. It's not like they're like, oh, I'm seeing a dragon boat or something. It's always like very vivid colors and patterns and shapes. And they're kind of like waves and things like that. That's what I've heard described. And your artwork has that component that sometimes is like, I've said this before. I was like, I bet there's like I could think of a sound that to me reflects the visual, you know what I mean?
I love that because I do feel like color does have a similar frequency or feeling to it, like sound does, which is why I remember we talked about collaborating on something like that. I just think that would be the coolest thing to find the connection between sound and color because to me they do, they share a lot of the similar properties.
Have you gone to one of those like Van Gogh immersive experiences?
I want to. Yeah.
Like that's kind of what it reminds me of because, you know, there's obviously all the visuals. It's Van Gogh, but there's because it's Van Gogh, they're playing like classical music from that time period and it's really synced with all of the visuals and, you know, and then they'll have like biography and history. And also they're playing with physical space because they have to like arrange it so people move through the experience in a certain way. And I remember thinking this is so immersive, but it's very multi-sensory and multimedia, right? Like it's kind of using a little bit of everything.
Right. I love that so much. Thank you for reflecting that. That's pretty incredible, actually.
I was just trying to think of examples where they can like interplay. And if you ever do like see something like that, I would love to get your like response to an experience like that.
Sure. Yeah. I was going to say the cycle, the pattern seeking and the cycle seeking, I think it's probably a coping mechanism I use in everyday life it's almost a permission slip of like, okay, I'm not going to be this. I don't have to be a robot this way every day. So I think that when I can detect cycles or patterns within myself or my cycle or my time in the studio or nature or other people, it's like, okay, I'm this way right now. And maybe if it's not a desirable state, it's not like it's not going to turn into something else and come back around. You know, it's like everything's always shifting and changing. And I think that my logical mind craves something that's kind of systematic to before it can be as free as it is when it paints.
I love the sense of freedom you get out of painting, truly. Mm. And I don't know how it ties to like your curiosity. You've spoken about how you've been always into personal development. Mm-hmm. You wanted to like explore more. You were just a very curious person always. Mm-hmm. Do you see a connection between that and like your creative life? I don't know how they interplay, but I'm curious.
I think I've always compartmentalized them as something separate, but I think even after working with you, I feel like that was a huge shift for me in seeing the connection that they both have and how much they play off each other. And I think there's still a lot for me to learn there. I think I see them being combined. I just don't know how, but I see that happening. So I'm kind of excited to see where that goes.
What have been some things that have been really curious for you or genuinely has been, you know, beneficial and helpful as far as, you know, personal growth, spiritual development, anything like that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, even what I just said about, I think that I've spent, I mean, probably my entire life trying to figure out, I have such a strong split in the middle of this logical, systematic OCD brain. And then I have this really open side to myself. And I think that I almost used to let them argue with each other. And now I'm realizing that they feed into each other. And I think that the things I've been drawn to over the years, I think that there's always been a system to it. It's like, yes, I was raised, you know, with Christianity. And so of course it's like studying the history of God to give myself like permission to question and leave that behind. And so for probably the last like 25, 30 years, it's just kind of finding different things that speak to me. And if I look, they all had something systematic to them. It's like here, I find human design and it spoke to me, or numerology or gene keys. And I feel like those things I'm realizing are something that my brain gets excited about to find the order in. And then that allows me to be more explorative and apply it in a very general, non-pressured, dogmatic way. It's like, and I feel like that's almost as what I'm seeing in my process too. It's like I created this container of a cyclical process, but yet I can play within that. But there's something about creating that container, you know?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like not a split in that sense, because like you do like the structure and you're there to be curious and learn these different structures and foundations.
Yeah.
But then it can also help you break free from those in some ways.
Exactly.
But it's like you can't, it's like, how would you do that if you don't first understand where you're coming from, right? Those foundations first. And I think for a lot of us, when we talk about spirituality or faith, it's a lot of like these deep, at times very intangible things that we care about, like hope and dreams and faith and forgiveness. And art, I think, is one way that we make sense of it and find meaning in it. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, for lack of a better term, spirit and our connection to spirit can be another way for sure.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that I do think that there's a connection to that artists feel when anybody that's making anything. I think that when you're in this, when you're creating something, you're just, I think it opens up that right side of your brain that I think is more connected to those softer parts of ourselves that are more open to flowing with life as opposed to controlling life. And I think that there's so much that we do to exercise our left brain every day. So I feel like doing anything creative kind of opens that other side up and allows you to flow with things more. And so if anything, that's been, it's just been another mode for me to do that with.
This is a bit kind of a fun question, if you will, but who are, like, are there some artists or even people that you just know personally? It doesn't have to be like the masters or anything, but there are artists that have really inspired you, or artists that you just find to be very memorable personally?
That's a good question. I feel very inspired for some reason by even that Instagram page called Niche, where they show photography of artists from maybe like 20s, 30s, 40s through 60s in their studio. And to me, I think that any artist from that time frame inspires me, no matter what the style, because there was such a, I don't know, there's such an isolated way that they created where they, it seemed like they had complete, and, you know, they're just like sitting in their studio with just stuff everywhere, smoking a cigarette, doing what they love. And there was no outside influence. Mm-hmm. I just think we are so influenced by everything now. There's just so much to see. And I think that I'm just inspired by that, just those earlier eras of art making where they were able to just create from their own place. And then probably why it wasn't appreciated till they were gone, right? But it's like there's such a beauty to creating from that place that I feel like sometimes we lose now.
Yeah. Does the word originality come to mind when you feel like some things that we're really fighting and losing maybe at times? Because, you know, I've seen you write about that a little bit, which is, you know, it can be a challenge sometimes to find people who genuinely value original work because of the fact it's original and someone put that time and energy into it,
right,
versus something that is, I don't know, auto-generated or whatever, right? But like, how do you see things converging right now? And what are some things that you're looking out for or perhaps concerned about?
I mean, I'm frightened by AI and intrigued. I think for me, any loss of the tangible world, I mean, it even makes me a little emotional to think of. Like, I think that's such an important part of our connection to the greater whole of what we're a part of. And I think, I mean, that's why being in nature is so healing. I feel like why making art is so healing. I just think that sense of touch that we're here to experience and feel the world through, the loss of that freaks me out.
Yeah, it's so funny you say like almost like a little bit of grief came up, I think, when we were talking about that. But when you talk about the 20s, 30s, 40s, not for everyone, but in some ways it was kind of a gilded age for artists and for creativity for lots of different reasons. And I think now it's, some of that is because of the demands and obligations of modernity, really, is kind of getting squeezed a little bit. And it is something that I speak about with other artists in particular. Artists overall are just sort of like, it's art because it's real.
And and I think the messy part of it, like even just it's still so gratifying to have to wash things off my hands and have my stuff all over my, I mean, even if you're, for anybody that you're doing anything where there's like an evidence of the mess that you created to get there, it's so beautiful, you know? And so, I think I'm just nostalgic of simple times for some reason in general.
Yeah, I understand.
Fight technology forever, probably.
I have this like quote that I have from you. You wrote it in an Instagram post. I think it was for your birthday post. And I found it so moving. Could I read it out loud for this conversation? It's a little long, so bear with me. Okay. But you wrote, "I don't think that anything could have rescued me from those cries for control other than age, time, and perspective. There's an insatiable part of me that craves a constant learning hole to dig into so that I can keep going below the surface. But I think there comes a point where you've dug and dug for long enough that you finally get to the core of it all. And once you get there, everything feels so simple, almost instantaneously. That search for control gets replaced with trust. The past that needed blame becomes a crucial part of the story. The cry for connection gets filled by the simple act of slowing down and hearing yourself. And the mystery and magic that once needed to be proven becomes apparent at every corner, just by stepping outside to see what tricks my plant performed overnight, or a conversation, an idea, a song, the little things that were once ignored by the haste of it all. I still crave systems to explore new depths with, but time has uncovered a huge grain of salt to take them in with, and a simple place to return to within myself. I thought that was so beautiful. And you were talking about that a little bit of kind of exploring in these different ways and having such desire to like get deeper, right? Mm-hmm. And then also it kind of also like freed you to break out of these structures in some way. Anyway, that just, I found that incredibly moving.
Yeah, that was very fitting too to what we were just talking about.
I don't consider myself to be a visual artist. For people who are like really shy, because like this comes up with music too. For people who are like, this, I think this could be really fun, but I'm really nervous. I'm not an artist. I haven't done this in ages, not since I was a kid. If you meet people like that, what would you say to someone to sort of help them get started, mm-hmm. you know, with something that's creative and visual for them?
Yeah, I almost feel like embracing that shyness to begin with and almost closing yourself in a bit and just giving yourself time to create something without outside noise so that you feel like you create almost your own visual language that still needs figured out over time always, but yet there's an element in your work that feels like only you and no one else. And then I think that kind of almost, even if you're still questioning whether or not it's good enough to be in the world, it's still at least yours. And you can, that almost gives a little, that gives a little bit of confidence to then break through that shyness, I think.
Thank you. That really resonated with me, which is like to start, maybe you like really protect it, like keep it, it's for you first and foremost, because it comes from you.
Right.
And so having that, I almost hear like that's kind of what you did when you were transitioning to figure out what your style was as an abstract artist.
Right.
You kind of talked about how you really like hunkered down. It was kind of in your own little bubble for a little while because it needed that.
Yeah.
I haven't thought of it that way, but that's pretty important.
Yeah,
awesome. If people wanted to check out your artwork, your portfolio, and maybe want to connect with you and work with you in some way, what's the best way to find you?
Just Bethany Maybe Art on Instagram, and then same website, Bethany Maybe Art. I'm really, which I'll be linking on my Instagram, but I'm really excited to kind of develop my Substack as well, just to kind of have a place to write about these reflections without the space constraints of Instagram. So that will be linked on my Instagram as well.
That's awesome. Yeah, I would love to check out your Substack, whatever you do with it. Is there anything coming up that, because actually I, you know, quite a few US listeners, so if there's anything coming up that where they can check out your work in person?
I work with galleries in South Carolina, Des Moines, Iowa, and Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Charlotte, North Carolina. So if you live anywhere in those areas, they'll at least always have work on display. But right now I won't have an actual show in person again until early next year, but.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I know quite a few folks from North Carolina.
Do
so
you?
That, yeah. I hear that's quite like, it's actually kind of a artsy, center of sorts.
Yeah, Greenville is in South Carolina, but it's only like 45 minutes from Asheville, North Carolina. And it's a really cool area for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Bethany, thank you for connecting with me today. This was such a pleasure. And like I said, truly, like when I saw it on your website, because I knew you did textiles, but when I saw it on your website presented, I was like, like,
that means
this may not be PC, but I was like, all the gay should have this textile.
That means you have no idea how happy that makes me. That's
I was like, it's fabulous. So anyway, thank you for your time today, Bethany.
Thank you, Robert. This has been fun.